All right, y'all remain standing. There it is. Couldn't find the mic. Yeah. Brother Tucker left his Bible here Wednesday night, too. It's up here in the pulpit. He's notorious for that. I got it on. Good to go. All right. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Thinking about this, started thinking about it Monday. The Lord started laying this on my heart, and I couldn't get away from it. So I'm going to give you what the Lord's given me, and then we'll go home and eat a bologna sandwich or whatever you got fixed for dinner. All right, we'll start reading Matthew 19, verse 16. Start reading in verse 16. I'll read down through verse 26. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit or may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. My thought that the Lord give me comes out of verse 25 there, the latter part of it. Who then can be saved? So if y'all will pray for me and pray with me while I go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Pray that you'd please help me now to deliver the thought that you give me. Pray that you'd speak to me and speak through me. I pray, I desire the Spirit of the Lord. I need your liberty, Father. I need your Spirit. I need you to take full control of me now, Father. I can't do it. I can do nothing without you. And I pray that you'd please help me to deliver this thought. And we'll be careful to give you all honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. So this is stated in Mark. This is Matthew 19:25. When Mark 10, verse 6 says pretty much the same thing. It says, And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And then in Luke 18:26, And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And that's the title of the message, Who then can be saved? That's where my thought comes from. And what the Lord began to lay on my heart on Monday night, by way of introduction, I started thinking about everyone in the church, the members of the church. And according to my calculations, there's 82 members here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. 82 members. Now, I know according to our bylaws, those that have missed so many consecutive services, they're not technically members. But unless we've met together with the church and voted on them and removed their membership, I'm still counting them, so that's what I'm basing the number on. The best that of my knowledge, there's 82 members in the Island Ford Baptist Church. Of that number, 32 are under 20. 32 are under 20. And of that 32 that's under the age of 20, only 6 have made a profession of faith. So that leaves 26 that are not saved in the Island Ford Baptist Church. That, and technically, they're not members. If they're not saved, they're not a member, but they're a member by association because whether their parents being saved. So that includes them in this flock of what we call, what makes up the Island Ford Baptist Church, the local church here at the Island Ford, on the Island Ford Road in Madisonville, Kentucky. So of that, there's been about 16 visitors that's been pretty faithful for the past couple years, for a good while. And we almost count them as members to some degree. We treat them like members. But technically, they're not members, but they're pretty faithful visitors. Now, I don't know which one of them, all of them that's made profession. I can make some assumptions, but I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to call them visitors. 16. So, thinking along that, and the devil was really working on my mind and trying to tear me down, saying, really, another salvation message, another message concerning salvation. And I had to settle it in my heart that, yes, what greater message could ever be preached than the message, just like we sang the song about the old story, never grows old. I mean, Miss Jennifer sings that song about the blood. You know, nothing but the blood can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood. I mean, what better, there's no other greater message ever been told than the message of Calvary. So that began to burn in my conscience and motivate me to put this message together. And I kept thinking about that, the context with the young rich ruler. That question that was asked, that the disciples asked, after they heard that, they said, well, who then can be saved? Jesus said, with God, with men this is impossible, verse 26. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So first of all, we got to look at why do they even need to be saved? Why would they even need to be saved? These little kids in here, we'll just say the 26 that's associated with Island Ford Baptist Church, associated by membership, their parents being members, why would they need to be saved? First off, because God desires them to be saved, and without salvation they are lost and hell-bound sinners. That's just the truth, cold hard truth. The fact that they are lost. They have sinned. Romans 3, verse 9 through 12. What then? This is Paul speaking about, telling the Romans, talking about the Gentiles. The Jews are no better than the Gentiles. He says in verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So Paul's saying, both Jew and Gentile, both of them alike, they've all went out of the way. They've all turned their own way. And I mentioned it in the comments in Sunday school. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And every one of us, born into this world, go our own way. We go astray. It don't take very long. From the moment they come out of the womb, they go astray. And they are at enmity with God. They wax worse and worse. The longer they're in that condition, they wax worse and worse and worse. So the sooner they can believe the gospel, the better off they are. You say, well, you take like little Ezekiel over here. He don't understand what you're saying. No, he don't, but he needs to be hearing it right now, and he needs to hear it every day. If possible, he needs to hear it every day. It's what God told Moses about them writing the law on the doorpost. It needs to be before your face all the time. It needs to be before the children all the time. So it's never too early to be telling them what God did for them, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And mankind is responsible for their own sin. Each one of these little ones in here that I mentioned that are 20 and under, they're responsible for their own sin. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So they need to understand that they're a sinner, and that it's individually. It's their sin. They're not condemned because of their parents' sin. They're condemned because of their sin, where they've transgressed God, where they've went astray. It's personal. They need to realize that, and they need to hear it, realize it, and believe it as soon as possible. As soon as they hear it, as soon as they can begin to understand, they need to hear that message. The truth. That's what it is. The truth. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So they need to hear that they're a sinner, and when they hear that, they need to hear that Christ died for them while they're a sinner. Not when they, you know, the young rich ruler, in the context of this verse, or this parable here, he asked, what good thing must I do to enter, to have eternal life? What good thing must I do? They don't need to hear what good thing they need to do. They need to hear what good thing has been done for them on their behalf. That's what they need to hear. That's the gospel message, is what God did in Christ on the cross when he was reconciling the world unto himself. So the second question is, all these points are questions, by the way. The second question is, who can be saved? Who can be saved? That's a very important question. All that Christ died for, all that Christ died for can be saved. And according to 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, I'll turn over. If y'all want to turn over, y'all can. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I don't think that's the right reference. No. It's 1 Timothy 2:4. Or 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 6. Yeah. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So Christ gave himself for all. He's a ransom for all. He died for all, so therefore all can be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 19, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. As verse 14 to 15 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we clearly see the Scripture tells us that Christ died for all. Therefore, all can be saved. And like I've already mentioned, verse 19, I've alluded to verse 19 right there, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So Christ died for all, and the free gift of salvation is available to all that are far off. Acts 2:39 lets us know that. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So you can rest assured that all can be saved. I know there's some in here that has publicly requested prayer for themselves concerning salvation. And I would say to that individual that you can rest assured that Christ died for you and you can be saved. I mean, I don't know any other plainer way to put it. The Scripture puts it pretty plain that Christ died for all, and he was a ransom for all, and that all can be saved. Thirdly, the question is, when can they be saved? When can they be saved? When the Father calls and draws. That's what I got. When the Father calls and draws. In John 6:44 and 45, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So the Father draws when Jesus is lifted up. John 12:32 and 33, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus was lifted up on the cross, and that's what he was referring to right there. Verse 33 in John 12 lets us know that this he said, signifying what death he should die. But every time a man of God preaches the Word of God, or someone declares the Word of God, as in witnessing to someone, if they're properly doing it, they're magnifying Jesus. They're lifting Jesus up. And if he be lifted up, the Father can draw the sinner to him. The Father draws through the Word. That's how the Father draws, through the Word. I think you can see... I'll skip one right here. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you gotta, to be reconciled to God, you gotta go to God through Jesus, but you can't go to Jesus until the Father calls you. And how the Father calls you is through the Word, which is Jesus. So when the Word of God is being preached, proclaimed, witnessed, testified of, that's the spirit of prophecy, by the way, the testimony of Jesus. When you tell that, then that conditions are favorable for you to be saved. You can be saved. That's when you can be saved. A good example of that is in Acts. An example of the Father drawing by the preaching of the Word, which is Jesus, I've mentioned. Acts 2:37-39. Now when they heard this, they were pricked. This is Peter preaching. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, I done read that verse, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So when he calls, when he draws, when the Father calls, when the Father draws the sinner, I can confidently say on the authority of the Word of God that If the preaching of the Word of God is going out, then the conditions are favorable for any sinner to get saved. That's the Word of God. Whether you believe it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, that's the Word of God. It's the truth. So that leads into how can they be saved? Number four, how can they be saved? The same way every human being's ever been saved. There ain't been no other different way of being saved. It's always been the same. It's been by grace through faith. All the way back there in the garden. All the way back when God came down there Himself, called unto Adam and Eve, that was grace. That was grace in the garden. I preached that on the marathon, the last marathon. That was grace in the garden. That's grace in action when God came down there seeking them out because they'd went astray. We all know Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So a person, a sinner, any sinner, can be saved by the grace of God through faith. When the grace of God, when the preaching of the Word is going on, the grace of God is working. If the man of God is a God-called man and he's preaching the Word of God, the grace of God is working in that midst. And there's no limits to the grace of God. There's no limits to how many people can be saved either. It's whosoever will. There's no limits to it. The only limit is the individual himself not trusting God. That's the limit. Or if the man of God puts stipulations on it that's not in the Scripture, and there's several of them that do that, by the way. I wouldn't call them a man of God, by the way. So a person is born again the same way all humans has ever been born again, is by grace through faith. That's by believing and obeying the gospel. That's how Paul put it, obeying the gospel. It's one thing to believe it and know it all in your mind and know all the logic of it, but until you obey it, that is resting in the gospel, resting in the truth of it, trusting, total reliance upon Christ for salvation. That's how Webster's puts it. He has a beautiful definition of faith, I think. It's really good. So, like Mark, John the Baptist preached repentance and Jesus preached repentance. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what the message was. Repent and believe the gospel. And I'll say this, there's some people that deny repentance. And I heard a really good message not long ago about repentance is in your mind. It deals with your mind. Your mind is changing how you're thinking. I explained it to someone just recently that it's just like we do a lot of things on the internet and you sign up to things or whatever, or you're buying something, you got to agree to the terms and conditions, right? You got to agree. That's repentance, when you're agreeing with God that you're a sinner and you can't do nothing about it. You agree to them terms and conditions. You come to God His way. There's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You change your mind on any other ways. The rich young ruler here, he's saying, what good thing must I do? It's nothing you can do. It ain't in what you're doing. He said, Jesus tested him on this. I'll show you the sin in this passage as well. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He's like, all these I've kept from my youth up. Well, when Jesus told him, go sell all his, he said, if thou wilt be perfect, go sell all that you have and come follow me. He said, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. He wanted to hang on to them possessions. Why? Jesus reveals to him. Now, evidently, he didn't even see it. If he did, he didn't care, and he didn't repent of it and went on his way. But Jesus revealed to him that he didn't even keep the first commandment, which is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He had those possessions before God. God's looking at him in his face and telling him, "Sell all those possessions, come follow me." Nope. I got a God before you. That's what he's saying. And he would not repent of that. He would not turn from those possessions and totally rely upon Christ for salvation. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't repent and believe the gospel. The gospel was right before him in shoe leather. If he had shoe leather on, he may have been barefooted. I don't know. We're all familiar with Romans 10. 8 through 13, "But what saith it," referring to the Scripture, Paul's referring to the Scripture, "but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I know some people emphasize the confession of the mouth. And they want to say, well, unless you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's not what the Scripture's saying right there. Read it. Verse 9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Paul illustrates exactly how this takes place. Verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Why is that? Because if you really believe it in your heart, you're going to confess it with your mouth. It's not the act of you confessing it with your mouth that saves you. It's the act of the heart yielding to the Lord. That's what saves you. And it's all in the grace of God. The grace of God is the divine influence on your heart, in your life, in your mind. The wonderful grace of Jesus. We sang that song. That's a wonderful song, and it is wonderful. The grace of God is wonderful. Lastly, number 5. How long are they saved? Those that get saved, how long are they saved? Well, I got forever. That's how long they're saved, forever. From now, from that moment on, forever. 1 John 2, verse 17, And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What is the will of God? I know the Pharisees asked Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, believe on him who he has sent. And he's saying, believe on me. That's what he's saying, believe on me. It's the will of God that all come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You do the will of God by believing in His Son and what He did for you on the cross. And you will have eternal life. You will live forever. Romans 6, 22 and 23. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So it's pretty clear and evident, when you get born again, you're born again forever. You don't get unborn. It's impossible to be unborn physically. It's impossible to be unborn spiritually as well. When God births you into the family of God, it's a sure deal. You're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise from the Father. John 10, verse 27 through 30, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So, that's the conclusion of the five questions that I ask. Was, go back here and look at them. Why do they need to be saved? Who can be saved? When can they be saved? How can they be saved? And how long are they saved? I hope, with the Lord's help, I've answered those clear enough for the least of one of these in here to come to the Father in repentance and faith. That may, you know, you may think, what, another salvation message? Yeah, the devil don't like another salvation message either. So if you're thinking that, you're identifying whose side you're on when you think thoughts like that. Now, you may not be on the devil's side, but don't let the devil put those thoughts in your mind, because he's not willing that any one of these little ones in here, I got five that's not made a profession, they need to be hearing this every day, because it ain't going to be long. The devil, whenever he can get his talons wrapped in their mind and blind their mind completely, shut it off. That's what his goal is. That is his agenda, if you want to put it that way. That's his agenda, is to keep their minds blinded from the truth. And he wants to disrupt anything that God does. He hates God. He hates God. So anything that is good and that anything that is the will of God, he's going to be kicking against. So in conclusion, all have sinned and are lost. All can be saved. All can be saved when the Father draws. All can be saved by grace through faith. All are saved forever. So, I'm going to get my wife to come with a song of invitation, Brother Matt. So if you've heard the Father call, I encourage you not to wait. Don't wait. Come to God through Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 and 2, Paul tells us that today is the day of salvation. He says in verse 1 and 2, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So I say, like John said in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So I encourage anyone that the Lord's dealing with by way of radio or here in the auditorium this morning to don't wait, don't delay. Come. What number is that?